Welcome, friends, to Truth Unveiled, where the mission and focus of a New You ministry is to reveal what truth actually is that can only be found in God's holy word, the Bible. Today's topic, the termination of the Ten Commandments. Before we get into our subject for today, I invite you to join me for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly invite your revelation in our study together. In today's society, your law is under attack. Reveal to us the true understanding of the law and how it relates to you and to us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Our subject is a very serious one, especially as it relates to the very character of God. In a renewed way, God invites you and I to think and pray for understanding. The greatest problem today is many people just sit and listen to preachers and swallow everything they say without testing it to see if it's truth. When it comes to eternal life, most people believe anything. The Bible says to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. The world in which we live is an extremely wicked world, and yet it is basically a religious world. In America, we have more churches, members, and pastors than ever before. Therefore, a logical question should come to your mind. If we have more churches and preachers, then why do we have all the prevailing corruption in our land? Why are our morals so low? U.S. News and World Report said, crime is increasing 9 times as fast as our population. In speaking of the United States alone, in less than every hour there is a murder. A rape occurs every 26 minutes, a burglary every 5 minutes, and there are over 400,000 births outside of marriage every year. Why? The Bible suggests an answer in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they keep to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. They shall turn from the truth. The greatest enemy of the Christian church is not the atheist or the outright sinner. It's the hypocrite who prays and sings and yet will not do the will of God. It is this situation that has caused the Christian church to look so weak in the world. Today, people laugh at Christianity. Our young people are disgusted. The reason being, they hear the truth, but they don't see it demonstrated. The church elder piously reads scripture, but at the dance hall, there he is, partying with the rest of the world. The Sunday school teacher teaches the Bible, but later he sits at the tavern drinking and laughing at dirty jokes, and Christianity is made a mockery. To preachers, God says to preach the word. It's not easy. Everyone loves a preacher who says it's all right. But the Bible says, woe to the preacher who compromises truth to please people. We're not to bring down God's standard to fit our lives. The standards of God remains high. The Bible does not need changing. People do. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23 to establish this. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy names have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, most people are going to be lost. Why? They did not do the will of God the Father. And what is the will of God? In Psalm chapter 40, verse 8, David answers, I delight to do your will. Your law is in my heart. God's will is his law. Now in the New Testament, Paul said the same. Romans chapter 2, and verse 18, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. God's will is being instructed out of the law. God's law is his will. Now let's turn to a text that many may startle you. Hosea chapter 4 verses 1 and 2. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. God has a controversy. Why? Verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Because we have forgotten the law of God, I would suggest that the reason for the prevailing corruption today is because we have forgotten God's law and are no longer doing the will of the Father. Now, all government has law. It's the will of government that you obey the laws. Without law, you have anarchy and everyone doing his own thing. So God gives law also, so there will be harmony among his people. When we think of the law of God, we discover it is the only part of Scripture God did not trust to write. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. That ought to make it important. Now, friends, the devil hates God's law, and since he first broke it, it has been his work to destroy God's law, and today he has almost done that. In the early 1900s, every church, regardless of its name, had within it a picture of the Ten Commandments. These principles were taught to our children in all society, but not anymore. Today, people are saying the law is not binding, or we're under grace and don't have to keep it, or the law was nailed to the cross, etc. In this message, we want to know what God says and understand what he means when he says most people will be lost because they do not do his will. God's law has always existed, even before he wrote it on stone at Mount Sinai, Genesis 26:5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Abraham kept God's law. And before Abraham, there was Lucifer himself. He broke at least three commandments. One, the first commandment, because he wanted to be like God. The ninth commandment, because he lied to the angels. And three, the tenth commandment, because he coveted God's throne. If Lucifer was put out of heaven for breaking the law, we're not going in breaking it. Now let's see what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 119 and verse 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. The law is the truth. Why would God want to do away with the truth? My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. The law is righteousness. Now the New Testament says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 12, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Paul says the law is holy, just, and good. Now let's see what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 19. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till it all be fulfilled. Whoever so therefore shall break of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven, till heaven and earth pass. If you think the law is done away with, just look into the heavens, and then stomp your foot on the ground. If both are there, so is the law. Psalm chapter 11, verses 7 and 8. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. God's law is forever and ever. Why do we have God's law? Let's ask another question. Do we have sin today? Yes. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. If there is no law, there is no transgression. Romans chapter 5 and verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath, for there is no laws, there is no transgression. So the very fact that we have sinned tells us there must be law. Now what is the purpose of the law? Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's the purpose of the law. It cannot justify or save you. If you could be justified by obeying the law, you would not need Jesus. The law cannot save you. That is not its purpose. What is it for? It gives the knowledge of sin. The law simply tells you what you ought to do. It's like a red light. The red light won't stop your car, but it tells you you ought to stop. What further purpose does the law serve? James chapter 1 and verses 23 to 25. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh unto the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The law is like a mirror. God says, take my law like a mirror, look in it. If you have dirt or sin, the mirror reveals it. Now can the mirror clean up the dirt? No. The purpose of the mirror is to make me aware that I have dirt and need to wash it away. If I want to be clean, I need to be cleansed by Jesus. Really, the mirror does me a favor. So I get cleansed by the blood of Christ, and I come back to the same mirror. The same mirror now says, your face is clean. God said, look into my law, or the mirror. According to Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, the law says, you've got dirt. But if you want to get clean, you have to come to the fountain filled with blood that cleanses all sin, the blood of Jesus Christ. Now let's make it practical. Here's a man who is cheating on his wife. He looks in the mirror, it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. It tells him he's got dirt in his life. What does he do then? He goes to Jesus, he is cleansed, forgiven, and justified. When he comes back and looks in the mirror, it says, you are clean. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says there is no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the purpose of the law. The Bible proposition is simply that those who hate God's law love sin. In fact, most people who condemn the law don't even know what it says. People are down on what they're not up on. Let's look at all the Ten Commandments and see. Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 to 17. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Commandment number 2, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Number 3. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. The fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, not thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Commandment number 5. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Number 6. Thou shalt not kill. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. The eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And finally, commandment number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. If these principles were kept, think what a wonderful world it would be. Now let's quickly establish the law in the New Testament. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Jesus says, "Do you love me? Then keep my commandments." The same thing in 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 to 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Love is keeping the commandments. They're not hard. A minister once told me, "You can't keep the Ten Commandments." And I said, "Oh, then which ones are you breaking?" Preachers can tell you the law is done away with, but those same preachers will require justice from someone who steals from the offering plate or willfully damages church property. Now let's take a look at a very solemn text. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If people say they know God and don't keep his commandments, they are liars, and do not have the truth. Some people say, all you have to do is believe." James chapter 2 and verse 19 answers this, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." The devil believes it too. True belief has within it the germ of action. If you believe, you will do. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." In verses 9 to 11, God has just destroyed the wicked, and who is left? Commandment keepers. Let's read on in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." Commandment keepers are the ones going in to the holy city of God. Now that we have the broad picture, I'm sure you're wondering, why is there so little of the Ten Commandments being taught today in our society? Why are the Ten Commandments said to be done away with? Let's turn back to the prophecy of the beast power in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of time." Now here is the real issue, the two sides warring for the control of your will. On one side is Antichrist, the other Jesus Christ. Antichrist has changed and done away with God's laws, and our world is filled with its results. War, crime, immorality, profanity, a generation gap, stealing, and lying. Most of the world is following the Antichrist. Jesus Christ stands on the other side, inviting us, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Those who follow live a life of peace with happy, stable homes. Honesty and purity are taught, prepared for the sanctity of life. Speech is cultured, and good, solid citizens are made who make a contribution to society and who are fit for heaven. Love for Christ makes commandment keeping a joy. And as we conform to this standard, we become more like the one it reflects, Jesus Christ. David prayed in Psalm chapter 119, verse 97, Oh, how I love thy law. And Solomon the wise man summed it up in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The world has attempted to terminate God's moral law, the Ten Commandments. But the reality is, the Ten Commandments can never be terminated. Those who follow Jesus will have these commandments written in their hearts. Will you make the decision today to say, Yes, Jesus, I love you and want to keep your commandments? Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for revealing to us the truthfulness of your word. We realize that your law has not been done away with. You are a God of love, and through this love you gave the Ten Commandments, the law of liberty. We delight to do your will, Father, because you love each one with an everlasting love. May our hearts be renewed each day as we follow in your footsteps. In Jesus' precious name, amen.